This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. The topic of discussion today, do you think English is still the default language for the business world? Why or why not? Let us know. We're running a poll on Instagram and Twitter. The numbers over on Twitter are, please.
The numbers are 89.2% saying yes and 10.8% saying no.
What's the poll like on Instagram, Chris?
Very similar. It's a 89% yes and it is 11% no.
Wow. Over on WhatsApp, a couple of messages. First up, number ending 8118. Definitely, English is important and absolutely necessary for communication. There is no doubt about it. Another one from HF Kwong. English language is the simplest and the majority of the world has been using it for the longest time. Even its alphabet and numerics are also being used by other languages too. Thanks very much for that. But there are... Go on, Chris. You've got a comment?
Numbers are of Arabic origin,
Arabic
aren't
origin,
they?
Yes, yeah. They are indeed.
just
to be clear. But, you know, keep the messages coming in at 018-789-8899 if you're on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. Take part in the poll at BFM Radio. Third and final story. This is about if and when we can eventually get out traveling somewhere and rent places and maybe have a holiday. And
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice, yeah. We're talking a little bit about the hospitality industry, including short-term rentals, STAs, and hotels have been left reeling from the impact of the pandemic, as we know, and many wonder whether the sector has the ability to bounce back once borders reopen and vaccinations kind of settle the dust. So globally, Airbnb has become a huge name, as we know, but with such a high cancellation rate, it's nearly impossible to operate a company that largely relies on travel and tourism, which also meant a huge loss in the last year for the platform. So the Malaysian Association of Hotel Owners, MAHO, CEO Yap Lip Sang, said the success of STAs like Airbnb has always hinged on its minimal operating expenses, which is almost none, of course, when it's unoccupied. And according to them, when property owners may argue the need to service loans, it's, however, relative to capital gains on the investment, whereby in Malaysia, not all of it is investment-based ownership. The impact on these short-term rentals is also minimal because it bears zero compliance costs. The business model allows it to rebound easily because of the minimal operating and fixed costs involved. And as of now, STAs are still unregulated and operate below the radar of the law, as well as pandemic standard operating procedures, of course, SOPs, with zero checks and balances to determine whether or not they are safe to inhabit. I did not know all of this. Here's a quote. While we foresee there will be demand for alternative accommodation, it must be regulated in the future to ensure the interests of guests and tourists are protected, as well as to prevent more leakages from the tourism industry and its stakeholders. Additionally, he said, like any commercial property or outlet, cleaning, sanitization and disinfection are of utmost importance due to the pandemic, but not all follow the same strict, stringent processes. He said on safety and hygiene, hotels will score well because of their stringent SOPs and regulatory compliance. Another quote, unfortunately, this also translates into higher operating costs for hotels because of the processes it must undergo. Nonetheless, they will still receive guests opting for short-term rental due to the budget concerns, taking a risk on safety and health. Of course, he's referring there to short-term rentals. Due to the pandemic and the current environment, hotels have undertaken a disinfection and sanitization program. It's called Clean and Safe Malaysia, with certification and an audit by various reputable organizations. And according to the spokesperson, because short-term rentals operate more through personal management, it might not practice similar SOPs or have performance indicators on hygiene and safety to adhere to. Property maintenance is sometimes not up to par, whereas hotels undergo inspections by the fire department, food and beverage outlets undergo auditing by local authorities and a rating by the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture. STAs may not be able to comply with the strict SOPs for travel and tourism amidst COVID-19. How the properties have been maintained so far, of course, have to be taken into consideration, as this will definitely incur large costs. Look, I know, and we all know, hotels really need to get back on their feet, and people, you know, the hotel association really want people to go and stay in the hotels as well. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, you know, Airbnb also need people to, you know, stay at their places too. And I understand what they're saying by saying, you know, they might not be following the strictest of SOPs if you are listed on Airbnb. But if you are a smart lister for Airbnb, that would be the thing at the top of your list, if you ask me. We adhere to the strictest of SOPs, and where they can, they will get certified, right?
I'm quite surprised. Maybe they've done this, and I just don't know, to be honest. And I would be surprised to hear that Airbnb is not looking to partner, for example, with any local sanitization companies in order to ensure that the properties that are listed, you know, are, at least that they have an option, right? When you list your property as a short-term rental a place, you can have an option to be like, okay, I will, let's say, pay more for sanitation services to make sure that it's up to date and up to code. That seems to be, to me, the most logical solution to all of this.
Arv, your opinion on this. When things are eventually lifted, you know, what's the likelihood of you staying in a hotel compared to the likelihood of you staying in an Airbnb?
So this is so coincidental, because I was just talking to a guest this morning for an upcoming episode of Futurescapes about travel and how things are going to change.
Yeah.
And I literally asked him, like, consumer behavior and traveler behavior, like, how is it going to be affected by the pandemic, in the sense that, for me, like, personally, I'm a person who I allocate a small portion of my travel budget to the accommodation and the larger portion of the budget to the actual travel, because the accommodation is just for, like, sleeping and, you know, just to spend the night, right? And I was thinking, like, moving forward, will I still go to these sorts of accommodations like Airbnbs or places where I'm like 50-50, or will I check into hotels where I know that they're keeping the place clean? And I might lean towards the hotels, even though I'm not a fan of, like, fancy hotels,
right?
You know, I just, for the cleanliness and the SOP sake, I might not do the smaller places for a while, because I don't know who's holding them accountable, like who's making sure that the place is, like, I don't want to go into a place and wipe it down and spray Dettol all over the place myself, you know. I want it to be done by the person before I check in.
Yeah. Chris,
see, the problem for me is that I normally my family normally travels together, and at the moment my sister is abroad, so primarily it's normally three of us, and that poses a problem for hotels, because either I have to sleep in a cot, which is very not fun, or I have to pay myself for an extra room, which I don't mind doing, but hotels can get really expensive.
They can, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, but I think, you know, as consumers, we know that, Arv, you know, and I agree with what you just said. But for people, as I said earlier on, who are listing their rooms or their places on Airbnb, unless you are doing these things, unless you have a spotless place, nobody's going to come and stay at your place anyway. So this argument almost feels a little bit moot. You know
you
what I mean?
So? Okay. I mean, it makes sense. I know what you're saying, but yeah, I don't know. We'll have to know once the borders open, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We better wrap up for today's show then. We are, in fact, running out of time. Thank you very much for all of your messages, your WhatsApps, your tweets, and all of that kind of stuff. Can I have a final result on the tweets, please, Arv?
The tweets, it's still at 89.2% at yes and 10.8% at no.
Okay, Chris, same over there?
Same over here.
All right, time for us to wrap up, of course. If you miss any part of this show, you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. We recommend you use the BFM app that's available from the Apple App Store or Google Play. What do we start off the show with today?
Fully vaccinated staff might be the only staff working in the future.
Followed by?
We spoke about, is English still the lingua franca in the business world?
Wrapping up with how safety and hygiene could affect the short-term rental market. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The pandemic all but decimated business travel, and most travel management companies, TMCs, were forced into hibernation. However, as global economies reopen, FCM, a subsidiary of the publicly listed Flight Centre Travel Group, emerged with a brand revamp and renewed investment in technology innovation in anticipation of a return to travel demand. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Christian Wong and Arvind Yuvaraj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.